people who walk in the mind of God realize that there's great meanings in the Spirit. And like Paul said, I went up and I conferenced with Peter by revelation. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so then we try to follow the Spirit of God. And here at Bethlehem, not with everybody, but with many people, there is a continual life, a well of water or a fountain of water that's ever springing up, and it's brand new every day. God said, I will do a new thing, and if he didn't do but one thing new, it would be that he said, my mercies are new every day. So then he does a new thing, and we find ourselves here having a continual new thing, even in his mercy. And it's always like a well of water springing up, and we enjoy the wonderful presence of God and the good news from heaven. And we're always tuned in on heaven and getting the wonderful revelation of Christ. Even this very day, the revelation of Christ has been nothing less than unbelievably tremendous. And when you say revelation, somebody would say, well, much study causes weariness of the flesh, and I get tired just thinking about that. I'd rather eat, drink, ride, and be merry. And I know that because people are given to the flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're having your life. You've got your world. You're doing your thing. And that's the end of you. You're on death row. Everybody's on death row waiting their turn. And while you eat, drink, and be merry, you're on death row and you're waiting your turn. And it will come, whether young or old. Unless you find the eternal life and you make that change. And you know, I try to stress the point on this, that if you don't make the change while you're here, you aren't going to make the change later. You're not going to make the change later. There's not going to be a change later. Somebody would say, well, in this world, I really don't know, Brother Pike, but I know that after this life, I'll find my change. No, I'm afraid you won't do that. There'll be no changes after this life. There'll be no changes. Somebody would say, well, then, Brother Pike, you think that I'm just going through life after this life in the same body that I'm in? No, you won't go through life after this life in the same body you're in, but still there won't be any changes after this life. So then someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that if you're going to make the change of the body, it'll be right here in this world. If you're going to have a change of heart, it'll be right here in this world. If you're going to have a change of spirit, it'll be right here in this world. If you're going to get salvation, it'll be here in this world. If you're going to have eternal life, you're going to get right here in this world. And then where will it start? Right here with the preacher tonight. And judgment begins at the house of God, and so your sins are either remitted or retained. And your blessings are either here or never. Your curse is here or never. So then it's right here where it all happens, just like in the courtrooms of your courthouses of today, and so it is. The minister is sent, the Bible said, not him speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within him, to enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise. Know how to conduct yourself in the house of the Lord. This is the wonderful church of the living God, the ground and the pillar of the truth. And when you come, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Let your delight be in the laws of the Lord. In these meditate day and night, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ every thought. And Paul said, in this you can please God. For we are not they that dwell in the earth, but we are they that dwell in heaven. If you have been born again, then ye are they that dwell in heaven. It's not like we're going to heaven. It's not like we're going to get to go to heaven. It's not like we're preparing to go to heaven. It's not like we're trying to live a good overcoming life so we'll be accepted so we can get into heaven. But folks, we that love the Lord are in heaven. Let's give him a hand. Come on, folks. Let's wake up. Hallelujah. If you're in heaven, let me hear from you. Let me hear from you. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, the way I feel, you're talking about me being in heaven. I'm talking about the way you feel. You're in heaven if you've been born again. If you've been born again, then you're in heaven. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye people. Hallelujah. It's a joyful noise unto the Lord. So then you say, well, then this sounds strange to me, but that's the way it is. See, we're not just here preaching religion and talking about religion, but we're here talking about God and glory and heaven. See, a lot of religions, there's only one pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, and that is to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, keep yourself unspotted from the world. And when you've got the nature of Jesus Christ, it won't be a hard job. You'll be glad to do that. It'll just be your nature, like the apple tree, it's its nature, and delight to bring forth apples. And if you've got the nature of righteousness, you'll just delight in doing it and just run over it. That cup will just run over. All right, so ye that are in will worship, then you will yourself to come to church. You will yourself to do things, and you're sad and cast down, and your religion is but a burden to you. But we that have an unction from the Holy One, we're stimulated and activated by the wonderful Spirit of God, and the inspiration of God keeps us quickened and alive. And so then we love to come to church, and as David Vold said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. So when we come here tonight, I'm here to tell you these things, and we'll probably say a few more things concerning this after we make reference to a scripture here in Revelation 5 and 1. I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon a throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And we could say a whole lot about this tonight. As a matter of fact, we have said some things about it, and we'd like to say a whole lot more about it. But during the camp meeting, we don't know what we'll be able to say. You've been real good in what little I have ministered to you during the camp meeting, and it's been a real thrill to me to get to talk with you. But this is an unusual book. This book backs up the things that I'm saying to you about being in heaven. So saints, listen at me real good now. I am here to preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said, I am to preach the gospel to every creature as much as lieth within me. And the Greek, the barbarian, and whatever it might be. And God has called me to do this. He struck me down just like he did Paul. I didn't volunteer and go into the ministry. I didn't decide I wanted to be a minister. I wasn't looking for the ministry. I was going another way. I was interested in the things of the world as a real young man, and that's what I went after. And he struck me down and turned me around. And he gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so then the end time is here, and somebody says, but Brother Pike, you say that just like you expect us to believe that. Really, I don't know whether you will or not. I believe that. See, that's the important thing. Now, the Bible said our words have gone into the ends of the earth, but who hath believed our report? And the Bible said when the gospel is gone into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come, and it won't come before. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know when the end's coming. I just told you. When it goes into all the world to every creature, God won't bother with the people anymore. But he's going to make sure that it does, whether it's through satellite, by voice, printed page, whatever it might be, missionary work. It must go to every creature, and every creature must have his opportunity so that God will be clear. And the day of the judgment, when he has the people to stand before him and he judges them according to what they sovereignly have done with their own life. And the Bible said, and they'll be judged according to this angelic being on the inside, being judged according to the deeds of this angelic being done while it tabernacled in this body in the earth. So when we talk about these things, and I tell you as the saints, I say, well, I'm here to preach the gospel, and I'm to preach repentance that you might find Christ. This is given freely to every man, and the Bible said, let whosoever will come. But the only thing is, by foreknowledge, he knows who will and who won't. So he's already wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody says, well, where's the Bible for that? And we say this over and over for the newcomers, of course. And the Bible says this, it reads like this, that Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, the children not yet being born, having done no good nor evil, that it might stand according to election of him that calleth and not of him that runneth. For the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. It is the Lord's. And the Bible said it's not by power and it's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the Bible said if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. Though you might believe, you might belong to a church. You might say, I believe. I made a confession. I've done all of these things. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm a good church attender. I know, because my grandmother was such and such. And I belong to the church too. God said, if you have not my spirit, that is the new birth. If you have not my spirit, you are none of mine. And unless a man is born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, folks, comes here in this world. And the kingdom of God is here present with you right now. It's at hand. And heaven is so close that you can reach out and touch it. Oh, someone said, well, Brother Pike, if that was so, where's all the angels? All around you. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him. They watch over you every day. And the Bible said, as it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Even Satan knew that. So when we think about this, and I talk to you and I say, well, children of God, now let's look at it on this side. We know that we're preaching to sinners and we're giving them a chance to come to God. And someone would say, well, now, if they're sinners, Brother Pike, then how is this thing as to foreknowledge? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, now, if they are as to foreknowledge, wouldn't that mean that they were already saved before they ever come to acknowledge the Word of God? Yes and no. Yes, by foreknowledge, they're already saved. Someone would say, well, where's the Bible for that? Well, the Bible said it shall come to pass that I will hear before you call. Somebody says, but don't we have to seek God? He said, you've not sought me, but I've sought you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, so some people are lost. They're lost off from God. They belong to God. Some don't belong to God. They're not lost off from God. They never were with God to start with. So then when it comes to the salvation of God by foreknowledge, what then are we seeing? The Bible says, and if God so loved us, while we were yet in our sins, but he gave his son to die for us. And if he heard before we ever called, that is, through Christ who died for us, and the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, his blood applied in our behalf, we being predestinated by the foreknowledge of God and him electing us unto election by his foreknowledge, then the Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For he hath justified us, he hath sanctified us, he hath predestinated us, he hath glorified us. And the Bible said, when Paul the apostle preached, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed, and they that did not or were not ordained did not believe. And it says of Judas, before he ever came to be with Christ, or before he was ever born into the world, let another his bishopric take. For Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. And though he came into the religious aspect of God, and though he was called one of the disciples, and though he obtained part of the ministry, and yet he failed. He failed from something he had obtained, and that was the ministry. He had just as much grace, just as much opportunity. He did receive a ministry, but he failed by transgression, and God foreknew it. And knew he would be a devil from the beginning. And though the devil had not entered into him until after he had done these things, yet at the end of the supper, Jesus gave him the sop. The devil entered into him and he went out into the darkness. But he was predestined to do that. So then Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. So if you are the elect and you're out there, then when you hear the voice of God, you'll know that's the voice of your father. And you'll come out from among them like the little eagle out of the barnyard from among the chicken. When you hear that scream, you'll spread your little wings and you'll lift up on high. So then them that are not the children of God will not hear his voice. And the Bible said when these wonderful things come, though the grace of God be upon you as the rain and the sunshine upon the tares, well as the wheat, to give you a chance to see this much as to the love of God and the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, yet you will not see when this good comes. For the Bible said the devil, even the prince of this world, even the spirit of blindness or that darkness on the inside hath blinded your eyes, even your eyes of understanding, that ye should not see when good comes. And though this light shines in the midst of you, you that walk in intellectual darkness cannot comprehend this light because you're not children of light. But you that are children of light, the Bible said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you comprehend the heights and the depth and the width and the length of this mighty, wonderful thing of God as the preordained or those of foreknowledge. So you can see that you that love the Lord are safe like a little mother or a mother's babe in a little mother's arm. And you can see that everything is well with you, and God hears every little whimper, every little cry. And he's there to pour in the oil and wine in every little womb. And that the angels of God are always watching over you, that wherever you go, God is with you. And God takes care of you. And God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. All of your needs, he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Pouring in the oil and wine when you have a little problem. And not only will he do that, but God will stand by you, make you ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. His blessings will make you rich and add no sorrow. So it is true that God is with you every day of your life. He is always with you, and he will never leave you, never forsake you. And the Bible teaches that no one can pluck up that which God has planted. No one can wrestle you out of God's hand. No one can deceive you. No one can overthrow you. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what about me as an individual? I know that God isn't going to forsake me. And I know that no one can't deceive me. But what about I and myself, Brother Pike? What about I? What is it that I will do or I won't do? You cannot do anything. There's nothing you can do. Like the prophet said, I had purposed in my heart that I would not prophesy in his name, but he said it was like fire shut up in my bosom. I couldn't hold my peace. And like Jonah, God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah decided that he'd take a trip. So instead of going where God told him to go, he decided to go where he wanted to go. And instead of going to the place God told him to go, he went where he wanted to go, and he wound up in the belly of the whale. And it looked like he'd had his own way, and it looked like everything was working out for him in his own way. But when the whale come up for breath, he just spit Jonah out, and he was right over in the place he was supposed to be. And God had given him transportation over, and he'd done the will of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then somebody says, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that when you belong to God, it's like the old saying in Canada, up in the northern country, that the mountie always gets his band. When you belong to God, you will do what God said do. He struck Paul down and turned Paul around when Paul was doing his own thing, persecuting the church of the living God. And God turned him around and said, you get down to business and do what I told you to do. Moses said, I'm slow of speech. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Said, I made your mouth and your tongue. So when we look at this, we say, well, what does that mean? I mean that it isn't left up to you. It's not left up to you. And then someone would say, well, I don't understand that. Well, let me explain it to you. The Bible says he that is born of God, he cannot sin. He cannot sin. So then what can you do? Live right. Live right. Oh, somebody would say, well, I can live like I want to. No. When you're born again, you live like he wants you to. Someone said, well, I have my way. I do what I want to. You want to do what he ordained. For the Bible said he creates the good and evil, has his way in both, works all things after the counsel of his own will. And if he wants you to go, you go. If he don't want you to go, you don't. And he said, I hardeneth whom I will, and I have mercy on whom I will. So then, the only part you have in it is finding a place of humility. If you find a place of humility toward God, then God gives more grace to the humble. And he'll consider you. And then if you call on his name out of that humility and sincerity, then God will save you. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that proves that I did what I wanted to. No, you only did what he foreordained that you would do. Let's give him a hand. You're elect according to foreknowledge. So then you acknowledge it because he foresaw it and wrote your name down in the book of life, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed it when they heard it and called on his name, and they were saved because they were the elect of God. Do you love the Lord? Someone would say, well, where is my sovereignty that you spoke about? Well, your sovereignty was that he foresaw what you would do before you was ever born into the world, and decided according to your sovereignty what you wanted to do and what you didn't want to do, and what was the deep intents of your desire in the heart, and just went ahead and took care of it in advance. Let's give the Lord a hand. So everything is just fine for the saints of God. You don't have anything to worry about. And when you're born of God, you can't sin, so you don't have to worry about that. Don't always go around worrying about sinning and afraid you're going to fall or something happen to you. Go around shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, beloved, I'm the son of God. Now we are the sons of God, the songwriter said. See, John said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Somebody says, well, I'm working on it, Brother Pike. He's still working on me. That's all right. He can work on you all he wants to, but that doesn't have anything to do with you being a son of God. You're already the son of God while he's doing his work. While he's doing his work, and he does his work well, you don't have to worry about anything. So then, if we're already sons of God, why then are we trying to get to be sons of God? Oh, somebody said, well, I can tell you. Well, tell me. Somebody said, well, the scripture says, and to as many as believe, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. So I know that's what I'm doing. I'm believing, and I'm going to become a son of God. Well, you got the cart ahead of the horse. When you believed on God, you received the Holy Ghost. When you received the Holy Ghost, you're born again. When you're born again, you become a son of God, and that took care of it. Somebody said, well, what about my faith, Brother Pike? Don't I have to keep my faith? Don't I have to keep my faith? Keep my faith up and hold on. Oh, no, he holds on to you. Somebody says, well, some fellow wrote a song, I believe he said it, and I was holding on by a hair or a string. Which was it? And somebody was telling me about it. I said, well, that's really something. A real saint of God, that's really something, holding on by a string. I said, the only thing is that fellow overlooked that God had him on a rope. God was holding him by a rope. He couldn't get a loose. He couldn't get a loose. So then, when it comes to these kind of things, what can we say but yea and amen? All of the promises of God are yea and amen. We don't try to figure it out or surmise it or try to understand it. We just say, yea and amen. God, you said it. That's the way it is. It's so simple. A child can understand it when it's revelated to him. And out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise. While the scribes and the Pharisees were struggling around trying to figure out what was right and what was wrong, a little boy about 12 years old come along and said, if you'll sit down, I'll explain it to you. Isn't that wonderful? And he told them all about it. They said, well, how do you know, never having learned? See, that was the secret of it. Great is the mystery. All right, so when we think about these things, knowing that you can't sin, then the question arises, how is it that you cannot sin? What about my faith? Your faith? What about your faith? Somebody said, well, I got to hold on to my faith. But I understand the Bible says that he is the author of my faith. Isn't that right? How many agree that he's the author of the faith? How many have read the following thing that said he's also the finisher of my faith? Oh, well, somebody said, well, that's what I understand. Someday he's going to finish it. But what did he say at Calvary? Somebody say it aloud. Praise God. He was the author and the finisher. Do you believe he did it? Let's give him another hand. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody says, how do you know that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said he justified, he sanctified, he perfected forever. How many of you are perfected forever? Amen. Made perfect forever. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Someone says, well, he's beating my brains out. Well, why don't you get born again? Somebody say hallelujah. Why don't you get born again? Amen. The Bible said, come up here. Come up hither. Come on up in heaven. The Bible said we dwell in heaven. We're they that dwell in heaven. We don't dwell in the earth. The Bible said he chose us out of the earth and he's hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Is that just a saying? Is the word of God just a saying, or did he mean what he said? How many of you like being in heaven? Let me see your hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, somebody said, you spoiled everything. I thought we had to do all these things, and then we was going to heaven. And here you are out here teaching people in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that better to do it like that than to go through all these problems? Go through all these problems. We go through all these problems all of our life. We go through all these problems. And we say, oh, my God, I barely made it. I made it by the skin of my teeth. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then when you get to the end of the way, God said, well, what are you so troubled about? He said, well, all them narrow escapes. He said, what narrow escapes? Oh, don't you remember, Lord? I don't remember none of them. He said, I took care of you at Calvary, and I told you your body was the purchased possession, and I told you that the law and the prophets went until John. Since that time, as to the kingdom coming, Calvary, and it was in the earth, and now I just want my will to be done. I sent Christ in you to perform all the works. And when I was asked, what must I do to work the works of God? I told him that I was the works of God, that it was finished from the foundation of the world, that you're my workmanship in Christ, and that you're complete in Christ, and you're the apple of my eye, and whatever God wanted us to be, he made Christ to be that, and then made Christ change places with us, or Jesus, and now we're whatever he was, and now he became whatever we are. Isn't that right? He was made my sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. How many believe that the righteousness of God in Christ is sufficient? Someone would say, well, what is that righteousness in God? The Bible said the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. Do you have the faith? The Bible said contend for the faith. Do you have the faith? So then what has God done? Somebody says, well, I believe he's going to save me if I hold on. Well, what happened to that word? The Bible said he hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. How did you get into the kingdom of God not being fit to go in? Come on, folks. Are you awake? How did you get into the kingdom of God? Somebody said, well, I'm not in the kingdom of God. I'm planning to get in. That's where you make your mistake. See, there ain't going to be no getting in. There ain't going to be nothing after this life. You're either born again here or translated into the kingdom of God here, or you don't go. You either receive salvation and eternal life here, or you don't go. The Bible says we have passed from death unto life. Not that we're going to pass from death unto life. We're not trying to become sons of God. John said, beloved, you're already the sons of God. Isn't that right? Amen. How many of you are sons of God? Amen. Well, why are you trying to become a son of God? Now you got me all mixed up. If you go two ways at one time, isn't that right? Now either you are a son of God or you're not a son of God. So how many of you are not sons of God? Now, how many of you are sons of God? Amen. All right, so I'm not mixed up. I know where we're going. Know where we've been. I know where we're at. Isn't that right? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. There ain't no confusion about this, folks. God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't keep you guessing in religious games for 40 years. He doesn't do that. See, he tells you exactly the way it is. In the world, they say, tell me like it is. This is the way it is. See, and so then now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been here and been preached. And I relate this to you so many times when Jesus prayed with them back there, they said, teach us to pray. He said, pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Why did he do that? Because he was fixing to go to Calvary. He knew that Christ in him was the kingdom. And he knew that God's will was fixing to be done and finished. And just as quick as he went to Calvary, he wanted them to know that the kingdom of God had come. And he said, you're not far from the kingdom. And now the kingdom of God has come. Someone would say, but I know, Brother Pike, when the kingdom of God comes, the Lord will come back into this world. Jesus said, I go away. And if I go, I'll prepare a place for you. And then I'll come to receive you unto my own where I am, that you may be also. Now, somebody said, well, I'm looking forward to that. And that's wonderful. That's great. I'm glad. That's wonderful. But it's so much more enjoyable just to fellowship him today. How many of you know that he fulfilled his word? He didn't alter it. He didn't change it. It's the same to 1,000 generations. He said, I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me or him. And he said, and I will come. And my Father will come, and we will make our abode with you. Come on, folks. Amen. I said, he said, I'll be back, and I'll make my abode with you. Isn't that right? Amen. Somebody say amen or shut up, Brother Pike. I will make my abode with you, and my Father will be with me. Isn't that right? Amen. And he said, ye are my temple, and I will dwell in you. And I will come back. And he said, the world won't see me. Come on, folks. See, that's where you get mixed up. Somebody said, well, I know we're going to see him. It said the world won't see him. Not only that, but it said the world won't see good when it comes because they're blinded by the ignorance of that intellectual reasoning and darkness that's on the inside of them, that satanic thing of their own human reasoning, casting down every thought, bringing into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought, anything that's not subjected to the knowledge of God. So then did he come back? He did come back. Who is he? He's the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'm looking for Jesus. Said, when he comes, even he, the Spirit of truth, he will testify of me. Isn't that right? And he shall be in you. Isn't that right? And the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, neither shall they say, lo, or hear. It is within you as the kingdom of God. Wasn't that the way that the Jews missed it? Isn't that the same way the Gentiles is missing it? Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. They're missing the day of the visitation. He made it real plain, saying, woman, God is a spirit. Isn't the Holy Ghost a spirit? Somebody said, well, is the Holy Ghost God? Well, who was Jesus' father outside of God? And didn't Mary conceive of the Holy Ghost? Wasn't it the Holy Ghost that created that blood cell in her womb? Isn't that the blood cell that come from the Father? What was the Holy Ghost doing bringing the blood cell? Because he was the Father. Somebody say hallelujah. There ain't but one God. If you ain't got his spirit, you're none of his. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You pass from death unto life. You're his temples. He lives on the inside of you. That's why you testify of him. That's why you're in his name. You've been baptized into his death, crucified by Calvary, baptized into his death. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stand before him, he won't look at you and say, depart from me without the wedding garment. For you have the wedding garment. Even the Lord Jesus, the body that was tried in the flames of hell. I counsel of you to give me the raiment, to bring me the raiment that was tried in the fire. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the desire thereof. For the Bible said, as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So then we know who we are, where we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. Isn't that right? Yes. Does the world know that? Does the religious world know that? No. So then they are in a state of confusion because they do not understand. I say again, they shout, they speak in tongues, they dance, they do all these kind of things. They go to church. They believe. Thousands upon thousands of them gather together and believe. When they're asked, do they want to accept God? They do this. And then when they dance, they shout, they do all these kind of things. They build churches, they give tithes. They give offerings. They compass land and sea to make a proselyte. Jesus said twofold more the child of hell than he was to start with. See, and then Jesus looked at them after they'd done all of these kind of things and said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Said, I've spewed you out of my mouth. You're nothing but vomit. You're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were cold. Didn't know nothing about me so I could give mercy and let the blood stay on the seat of atonement and spare you. Or I would that you were hot, that you might get in and be blessed of God. But because you're lukewarm, you stand at the door, you become my enemy like the Pharisees and the scribes. And everyone that's trying to get in, you block them at the door. And you hinder them that would come. So then we say, what is meant by that, Brother Pike? I mean that though we feel the Spirit of God as a people, and though God is above us, in us, around us, all through us, every which way, as to our being of creation, even as to the breath of life, folks, that don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. That don't mean you got eternal life. That don't mean you've been born again. And if somebody would say, you mean to tell me that we have all these wonderful services, Brother Pike, and the preacher so mightily anointed, all these wonderful things flow to us, and then we shout and we praise God and feel this wonderful inspiration, and we still don't have eternal life? That's exactly what I mean. No mistaking it, that's what I mean. My, somebody said, you must be eccentric, preacher. No, I'm not eccentric. The rain comes on the tares. And the little tares, it cuts up just like the wheat does. It just acts up when the rain comes. The sunshine comes, but that don't mean its nature is right. And it will be burned. The Bible said that to be rejected is non to burning. Gathering the wheat into the garners. So then I cannot tell them that it's not God. When they tell me that we had a wonderful time and it was God, I say, yeah, amen. And Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice. I still rejoice because at least the gospel is going forth. And though they have personal motives, and though some of them is the ministers of Satan, the Bible said through their mind of transforming their mind, they actually minister the words of light, or they become ministers of light, which means the word is to Bible scholars. And they change the word of truth into a lie. And even Satan actually transforms himself into an angel of light to where he's so religious that you can't tell the difference when he's moving. See, so he looks just like the Holy Ghost to the extent of reflection. but he's just a mirror, as we say, just a reflection. Solomon said the world is vanity, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. All is vanity, vanity, and all will pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then the world is vanity, like the old folks used to say, a vanity, a mirror, that's vanity. See, you're just looking at your image and that perverted and contrary to you every time you look at him. You've heard me say that? Raise your right hand, he'll raise his left. You do whatever and he'll do contrary to you. Vanity. See, this man is but a shadow of vanity. All of your intellectual knowledge is vanity. And the Bible said the foolishness of the mind is to the intellectual of the tree of knowledge. It pleased God that that be foolishness because they did not recognize God with all of their intellectual ability. And though God stood in the midst of them, they never did recognize God. And Jesus said, you've not seen his shape at any time, nor heard his voice at any time. And yet he stood in the midst of them. So then it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, men should be saved. And that is, when you say foolishness of preaching, the Bible said the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Their intellectual science, so-called, as to knowledge, falsely so-called, and foolishness, it's foolishness to them. Because the Bible said the things of God is foolishness to the natural mind. Neither can the natural man know them because they are spiritually discerned. And the Bible said his eyes or ears have never heard or seen. Never at any time have it ever entered into his heart the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But hath made them to be revealed by revelation to babes such as are willing to learn. So even Einstein never did even get out of his diapers. He never did even run across this with all of his brilliance. He never did even get out of his diapers. And here we are, sons of God, for now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you eternal. Now, beloved, do you have eternal life? Now, then you pass from death unto life. And someone would say, how can I be sure, Brother Pike, that I cannot sin? Right? This is the way you can be sure. Take just a few more minutes here. How then can I be sure? You can be sure by this. The Bible says that transgression of the law is sin. Isn't that right? Somebody say amen. If you're a Bible scholar, say amen. All right, so transgression of the law is sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Is that right?
That's right.
So if there's no transgression, then there's no sin. Is that right?
Yes.
And if Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law at Calvary, folded it up and laid it away, then there is no more law. And where there's no law, there's no more transgression. And where there's no more transgression, there's no more sin. And where there's no more sin, there's no more death. O death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? For death is swallowed up in victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. The faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. So then, someone would say, you mean to tell me I can't sin? How can you sin? He that is born of God cannot sin, for the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why is it he cannot sin? Because he is born of God. Now, someone would say, well, you could be born of God and you could get unborn. Well, I never read that. Someone said, well, you could be born of God and you could die. I never read that. All that I ever knew about the born of God had eternal life. If they can die, how could they have eternal life? Oh, someone said, well, I'll dispute with you. I know people that was born again and had eternal life and was going real good and fell away. You never read such in the Bible. It doesn't give it like that. The Bible said if they'd been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us, that it might be made manifest they were not of us. Isn't that right? Somebody says, but I know, Brother Pike, that they had something. I know they did too. Judas had something. How do you believe Judas had something? The Bible said he obtained part of that ministry. But the Bible said he failed by transgression. Isn't that right? What is transgression? Sin. How did he transgress? Because the Bible said they that are not under grace have fallen and they're under the law. And he transgressed the law. Why was that? He was not dead to the law. How could that be? Because the Bible said we are dead to the law. We are dead to the law. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Buried with him in baptism and crucified with him at Calvary. Raised a new creature. Old things have passed away. Now behold, all things are new. And there's no remembrance from God against you forever of former things. And there's no remembrance in you of former things as to the love of the world. And you yield your members as those that are alive from the dead forever and ever. Because you are a new creature in a new world, having passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. And there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And there's no way that you can walk after the flesh, because the Bible said you're not in the flesh, for God has chosen you out of the flesh, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the change, the restitution of all things, bringing in the change of the body and the restoration as to the millennium, where he said, I will restore that that the kingdom worm has got, the locust and the caterpillar, the years that they have destroyed, saying unto Jacob, thy worm, or to the natural, that you are an intellectual worm, and through your evil you have caused things to become extinct. You've destroyed by all your evil inventions, but I will restore all of this and then change it into that wonderful celestial world beyond the 1,000 years regime of Christ. So then, can you stray? Can you then sin? There's no way you can sin. You are dead to the law. How then can he that is dead to the law transgress the law? And besides that, Jesus fulfilled the law. Every jot and every tittle, he fulfilled it. And he said, and not one jot nor tittle shall pass away, that of the law, until all be fulfilled. And if you transgress and break one tiny little bit of it, then you are a transgressor of all of it. And he that tries to keep the law, every jot and tittle must be kept. And if he fails to keep one jot or tittle, he is a transgressor of all. And if he tries to keep one jot or tittle, he is indebted to God to keep all of the law. All of the law. So then Paul said, we are not under the law, but under grace. Therefore sin coming by the law, because sin gets its strength by the law, and it's called the law of sin and death. And so we're not under the law. Because the law hath power over the flesh, and we're not in the flesh, and the flesh is now dead, and the veil is now rent, and our spirit went back to God who gave it at death, and our body has been buried, and now we are as the angels in heaven, equal to God and cannot die. The equality is that we have eternal life. So, I make my angels spirits. Man's a living soul subject to death, but we're not anymore a living soul. For the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And though we were born to living soul and subject to death, and having the sentence of death within the body, God rent the veil, put the body away, buried that body, made it pay its price out of the presence of God, dying at Calvary, afflicted, the punishment of God upon it for sin, and then going into hell, the soul of Jesus going into hell, for the Bible said God suffered not his Holy One to remain in the grave or his soul to remain in hell. So then doing this for us, today it's all paid. It's all finished. We paid our price. We paid our debt. For society, you die one time. That's it. So then we paid our debt. We're now free. Delivered for our transgressions. He was. Raised again for our justification. He was. And today, by his stripes, we're healed. So then today we are where? In heaven. So then, what is the ministry for? For the perfecting of your faith. And what is the faith? The victory that overcometh the world. And the victory is grave. Where is your victory? I've got the victory. You don't have it. We have the victory of the kingdom. So then, we have passed from death unto life. And we'll never come into condemnation. There's no condemnation to you. You cannot walk in the flesh. How can you walk in the flesh when you're dead to the body, and the body is dead but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your spirit is loose and your spirit dwells in heaven? How are you going to dwell in heaven and in earth at the same time? You dwell in heaven and your body is dead, and you're free from the bodily creature of that thing that's got the poison of asp under its tongue and the deceit in its tongue and destruction and misery before its eyes, feet swift to shed blood, all flesh having corrupted its way. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So God looked down and saw all flesh had corrupted its way before God, and saw that all of men's thoughts were continually evil. and said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? For out of your heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication, and all these kind of things that defile a man. It's not in eating and ritualistics. All the things that you practice in your religious stride of life. He said, it's the heart, and when the Holy Ghost goes into your heart, you can never think like that again, because charity thinketh no evil. So then God has sealed your spirit that the evil one cannot touch you. He cannot get near you. God has given you eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? So then we can rejoice in God. We can be strong in God. We can have faith in the Word. And what is the Word? The very thing I'm preaching to you. How does it perfect your faith? By the hearing. He that God sendeth will speak God's Word. And so then when He speaks God's Word, you hear the Word in faith by hearing. And so then when you hear the Word, then you believe what the Word said. And so the minister is there to bring to you the tutoring, the understanding, to give you the mind of Christ, that you may have the faith of that mind, which is the faith of Christ, even the righteousness of God, which is in Jesus Christ, which would take a long time to go into and explain because of the great mystery of godliness. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to Himself, not imputing men's trespasses unto them, and that He was seen here in a human body, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels. He was justified in the Spirit, preached to the Gentiles, caught up into heaven. So by His stripes we've been healed. And in preaching this Word, you hear this and you believe it. And you hear this and you believe it. And line upon line and precept upon precept, and your mind transformate even to the mind of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then we don't seek a reputation, but God hath made us equal to Himself, even as the body of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus said, my Father and I are one. You believe that, don't you? Do you believe you're His flesh and bone? Do you believe it's not you living but Christ? And you're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus? And the life you now live on the inside, you live by the Son of God or the great Holy Ghost? You believe that? Doesn't that make you equal with God? Isn't every man's children equal to the daddy, to the father? Isn't that right? Same bloodstream, same spirit. Somebody say amen. Why is it that we're not equal with God? I say this so many times in not a light statement, just a simple thing that little children can understand. If we're going to have a batch of elephants, don't elephants beget elephants? And a batch of dogs, what comes? And a batch of cats? What do we get? And if we have a batch of men, what do we get? Don't men reproduce men? But in the event that we conceive of God, of the mighty Holy Ghost, when Mary conceived of God, what did she bring forth? Somebody say something. Brought forth a God, and you confess that you are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Jesus said, you're God's. Then if God has begotten us, what does that make us? How do you believe you're born of God? Let me see your hand. What does that make you? Somebody say that again. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, how many gods die and you attend their funeral? None. Somebody said, but I know the Bible said you're God, but you die like men. I know that. I know that. That is to say, you go to sleep and your spirit departs from your body. That's terminology as to death. But Jesus said death is when your spirit departs from God. Spirit is called the lake of fire, the second death. Lazarus is not dead. He sleepeth. I go to awake him. And folks, there's nothing less than a world of difference, and you don't even have to go down that trail. Your God, say what you will, believe what you will, think what you will, decree it in your heart, say it, it'll come to pass, and nobody can alter it or change it. You're to rule with a rod of iron. Ye are gods. Ye are gods. What about gods? Gods cannot die. Come on, folks.
Amen.
How many believe you pass from death unto life?
Amen.
Do you believe you can die?
No.
How could you die if you got eternal life? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand together, just talking to you a little bit, exhorting you tonight. A little at the time, and the Bible said, a little more as I see the day approaching. I can tell you, if we had time to go into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as to a present day truth, we could show you right here on the spot that great and mighty things are happening right here at Bethlehem every day, and especially today, and in this camp meeting that's called the Last Episode. My, how beautiful it is. So wonderful it is to me. Wonderful, wonderful. How wonderful is the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word said, and thus it came to be. So it is the same today. God speaking and not the minister. And as He speaks, thus it comes to be. And then ye are gods, ye should go into the world, and ye should multiply and replenish the earth. For gods bring forth gods. Sheep beget sheep, so you bring forth gods. And go out there, search them out and find them. And you'll bring forth gods. And we'll go ahead and get this thing over with, because there's nothing to wait on except for the last one to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said, the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and the brimstone came. How many of you agree that it's done turned into Sodom and Gomorrah?
Amen.
All right, it's time for the church to get out. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right, and God burns it. Isn't that right? So then we see that. Even this little thing that's happening now, we say a lot of things about going over on Mr. Podbur's land over here with this thing that David, Paul, and the brethren are doing the covenant, and that it's Abraham's land. My full-blooded Jew going through the Holocaust. Things are happening, folks. I hope you can get your eyes open. So we tell you these things from the Scripture because you're able to discern these things. When we give you the revelation of the Scripture, or rather the Spirit gives you the revelation of the Scripture, you can kind of relate to that because you've got a scriptural foundation to build upon. But when you come to the present day truth, you're going to have to see the allegorics, for the Bible said the earth is full of His knowledge and the heavens declare His handiwork. As in the days of Enoch, the Bible teaches that the stars, the heavens declared the handiwork. He believed, and by faith he was translated that he should not see death. And you don't have to see death, you don't have to die. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but to be changed. And so then you know you can't die, and now what you're working on is not sleeping. Isn't that right? That's why you're transforming your mind, that's what the revelation is for. And the revelation will, not perhaps, or maybe, it will take the church out of here. But my, are we still babies? Do we not yet understand? Do we wait for the change of the body before we can understand? Let's don't be children, folks. A lot of work to be done. Let's don't be children. All right. Somebody says, well, I got $1 million in the bank. Somebody says, I'll believe it when I see it in the hand. Somebody says, well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. How could you believe me, a pauper, that I've got $1 million in the bank? I see it when it's in the hand. Let me see you riding in a Cadillac and living, you know, in a mansion, driving that limousine. Let me see, like Missouri, the show me state. Let me see. But the Bible said, blessed is he that have not seen and yet believed. We believe to see. And then, what am I saying? They might not believe. But if I know that I've got $1 million in the bank, and I know that all I have to do is just sign the check whenever I get ready, and I can have whatever I say, why should I wait till it's in hand? It is in my hand. It's up there just taking care of it for me. How do you know that everybody is squatters? Everybody in the world is squatters. And they're on your land, for the world and everything in it belongs to you. Life belongs to you. Isn't that Bible? But the Bible says death belongs to you. What about that? I said death belongs to you. Somebody says, well, I don't care nothing about being the ownership of that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have control of that than to have control of me. What do you think?
Amen.
Said even death belongs to you. So if it belongs to you, you can tell it what to do. Isn't that right?
Right.
Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible says no man has power over the spirit at death to retain it. I know that. I understand that. But who said anything about you being men? Come on, folks, I thought you told me you were gods. Amen. Somebody said, well, I know I'm a Bible scholar. The Bible said it's appointed unto man wants to die and after that the judgment. I know. But the Bible also says there's line upon line and precept upon precept. God looked down from heaven and saw the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that were appointed unto death and succored them in a day accepted. Is that right?
Yes.
And why did you tell me that you're gods if you be men?
Right.
Is it then appointed unto you to die?
Yes. Come on.
What am I saying? I'm saying that it was appointed unto you to die. Did you die? Consider yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you meet the appointment? I met it. Let's give the Lord a hand. We're talking about the resurrection now, not death. Come on, folks. We're talking about dwelling in heaven now. Isn't that right? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, what about the rapture? Well, what about the rapture? Somebody says, well, that's what I'm waiting on. Well, you're going to miss out. So what do you mean? There's no Bible for rapture. Not even the word. Find it and bring it to me. Somebody said, well, preach the word. That's what we're doing. So then the word rapture being caught away, it's an intellectual application. Caught away, will we be caught up? We'll be caught up. But we'll be changed first. Always bear that in mind. We're not going to be raptured away and be changed. We are going through the translation right here to overcome death and be changed right here. And then we'll be caught up. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So then that means that this thing is a transformating us to the kingdom on the inside and from glory to glory to this wonderful change. And that glory in you is Christ. He's the hope of that change, of that wonderful light of God of the dawning of the day star inwardly shall be manifested in your mortal genes. So this is the wonderful thing that Jesus did for us, appearing in glory on the mount to let us know the work was finished and the church was now completed and the preacher could preach to you through the church ages and bring you to this knowledge. And that's what going to heaven is going from Egypt over into Canaan land, the land of 32,000 promises, and moving by faith from faith to faith and glory to glory and transformation to transformation, changing your mind into the mind of God, the mind that Adam had as to the illumination, though he never did conceive of it. Now you're going through that and through the dark shadows. And by, we could tell you a vision here, but we don't have time. We've took up a lot of time. So when we come to these things, what is the preacher for? To lead you through the wilderness of that intellectual mind, reaching in there, getting that spirit as Christ, bringing it through that intellectual mind, pulling it right out of there, bring it into the mind of Christ, into the new body of the land of Canaan, even to the celestial body. And this, we realize then that we've come down to the end of the way with the church in the last episode, to the extent that the church is gradually transformated, and now they're beginning to see, not a lot of them, but those that's going to escape, they're beginning to see now, and they're coming to that wonderful change that they should not sleep. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. So the last trump sounded, the mysteries of God was finished. So when we hear this, it means that the preacher is to preach you into heaven. I remember a song one time, somebody wrote a song, a man had killed somebody. He'd been seemingly a fine man, he killed somebody, went to prison, and was waiting for his time at the electric chair. And he had a friend that was in there also, a friend of his, that sang and played the guitar. And just as he was getting ready to take him to the electric chair, he said, "Can I have one last request?" And he said, "Let my guitar playing friend sing me back home." And they wrote a song. See, and that's what we're doing. We're singing you back home. And we're preaching you back home. And we're taking you back home. And in his mind and spirit, he went back as being a child, innocent. No death. I have delivered you from death and brought you unto life. See, home. We sing the song, that sounds like home to me. See, and so then this is what we're doing. Preaching you into heaven, if thou canst believe. All things are possible. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, where's the Bible for this? The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom is here and men press their way into it. And God has translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God. And you say that you're the body and bone of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was yet in the configuration of sin. He looked at Nicodemus and said, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. And he looked right straight at him and there standing in the body and standing in earth and said, and is in heaven. And you say you're his body, your bone and flesh. He said he was in heaven. Do you feel like you're in heaven? Somebody said, but where's the Bible for that? The Bible said, we are they that dwell in heaven. Are you they that dwell in heaven? Ye that sit in the heavenly places, rejoice forevermore. For Satan can't come nigh your dwelling because he's darkness. And ye are light. And Christ is the light as to the master of all situations. And he mastered the darkness. Isn't that right? Came forth and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was without form. And God gave it form. Didn't he do that? Creating the darkness to form the light. Didn't he do that? And the light came and the darkness was expelled. Isn't that right? Are ye children of darkness or of light? For now the true light shineth. Isn't that why? To light your way. So then ye are they that dwell in heaven. How did we get there, Brother Pye? Because I told you and you believed it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, but Brother Pye, I don't understand that. Well, let me explain it. What do you mean you don't understand it? The Bible said it was translated by faith. Isn't that right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. Not you speaking, but the word or God speaking. Didn't I preach to you the word? He that God sent, he speaketh the word. How many agree that I preached the word?
Amen.
How many believe that?
Amen.
Didn't it translate you?
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
Took you right into heaven. Let's give it all to him. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Wonderful to be a Christian. The only reason that Adam lost it was intellectual ignorance. They that are in the world or in darkness shall not see when good cometh. But your children of light shall comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length right back into the wonderful world of God and find out that God was with you all the time. That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There the teardrop shall never dim my eyes again. Sing that with me. For the hills will echo with the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home. Can you sing it with me? For it sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There the teardrops shall never dim my eyes again. The altars are open if you'd like to come. For the hills will echo with the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. For it sounds like, we're going to sing it one more time together. Can you sing it with me? For it sounds like home to me. Can you come tonight? Be good if all of us could come to the altar tonight. Things are closing out real fast now, and the saints are ready. The saints are all ready now. They're coming in without spot, without wrinkle or blemish. She's coming after that church without spot, without wrinkle or without blemish. He's coming. He promised to come. He's coming now. He promised. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And you're beginning to believe that you're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The evil one toucheth him not. You'll begin to believe that you're perfected forever. If you believe that, say amen. You believe you're justified, sanctified, glorified. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. If you believe you're perfected forever, while we sing the song tonight, let's just press in, sing the song. And while we're singing the song, say, Jesus, I thank you because you took me to heaven. I thank you because you took me to heaven. I dwell in heaven. I want to rejoice forevermore. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Somebody said, I just can't believe that. But the saints can believe that. That's what's going to make the difference. The dividing line is coming. The differentiating is coming. It's time to divide. That's why you're supposed to hear the word. That's why you're supposed to honor the word. That's why condemnation is supposed to be gone. So you can believe this, and in doing it, you're translated into the wonderful kingdom of God. Isn't that right? For God hath presently translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God. You believe that? If you can believe you're in heaven, then where are you? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And I will feed him the thoughts of his heart. What do you think? What do you think tonight? I think the word, don't you? I think his mind, don't you? I'm getting rid of every one of my thoughts. Aren't you getting rid of every one of your thoughts? I'm tired of the earth. I'm tired of them thoughts. I'm tired of Lucifer. Isn't that right? I want to think God's way. Jesus said, I'm in heaven. Let this mind be in you. I'm in heaven. Somebody say, I'm in heaven. Let this mind be in you. Do you believe that? You believe that? You better be careful, because something will happen any minute now. Any minute, everything's just right.
Watch and see. Everything's just right. While we're singing this song tonight, I want us to worship God. I want you to lift your hand tonight, and I want you to sing with me, and I want you to give. I want you to give God a wave offering tonight. How we sing it.
That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There the teardrops will never dim my eyes again.
Sing it with me now.
For the hills will echo with the story of His love and of His glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. Amazing grace.
How isn't it amazing grace? The sound. I remember the man that was so wretched. They said he was one of the most wretched men that ever lived. So wretched he was. But one day God saved him. And he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. He that is forgiven much loveth much. Wretched man that I am, that saved by grace. Isn't that wonderful?
I was blind, but now I see. Praise God, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. And when this battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, we'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shining crown. Sing it with me. For when this battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown. Jerusalem, sing it one more time. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For this battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Somebody say amen. Let's sing another chorus or two, and we're gonna let you go. Remember, this is camp meeting. Wonderful things are taking place in heaven. The vision I saw, glorious things was taking place in heaven. Do you ever look into heaven? You can see in heaven. And you can walk in heaven because you dwell in heaven. Do you believe you dwell in heaven? Why then do you not see in heaven? Why do you not enjoy the things of heaven? If you dwell in New York, you see the things of New York. If you dwell in Monroe, you see the things of Monroe. If you dwell in California, you see the things of California. If you dwell in heaven, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are children of light. Children of heaven. God has done it all. God has done it all. This is what God wants you to know. God has done it all. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop struggling. Give Him praise and glory. God's done it all. He's wanting to meet you. He's wanting to come and get His children. You're God's children. You're already God's children. Hallelujah. You don't have to try to be God's children. You're already God's children. He wants you to holler and praise and scream and lift up your voice like a trumpet. and say, "My Father, my Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Hallelujah! He's our Heavenly Father. He's done it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Hallelujah. The crimson stain has made me whiter than the snow. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's read this or sing this little song. Can we? I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their stead. And He gave His life on the cross. Thank God for His wonderful grace. Thank God reach over the rivers. Day I'm gonna see His sweet face. With Him I'll abide there forever. Thank God. I read where He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, pure walls of jasper. God for His marvelous grace." Thank God. There's a bridge over it. Give Him another wave of His sweet face. With Him, I'll abide there forever. Thank God. Can you sing that again? I read where He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, new walls of jasper. Thank God for His marvel." One more time together. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Day I'm gonna see His sweet face. With Him, I'll abide there forever. God for His mother. One more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday, see His sweet face. With Him, go to abide there forever. Thank God for His marvelous grace. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Are you ready for the bride soon to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, and night, I'm all dressed as bright as white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Better get ready for the bridegroom, He's coming. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, you better be dressed in spotless white and be ready for the bridegroom. Sing it one more time. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Give Him a wave offering. Oh, we're ready. Lift up holy hands by Calvary, without wrath and without doubting, forgiving men their trespasses from your heart, lest God fail to forgive you your trespasses. Love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. Oh, I'm ready for that bridegroom to come. Ask Brother Paul to come dismiss us. For the bridegroom to come. Can you lift your hands up, close your eyes, and sing it to me? In His spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. One more time. Oh, we're ready for